Hi, I want to talk to you a little bit here in the next few minutes about initial contact as it relates to a traffic stop. The objectives, from your point of view, are real simple. The objectives are to the officer, to the official, hands off and no funny business. Okay? Not terribly technical, but certainly sufficient for the needs that we have. So what you're going to do is you want to let them know that you are not a willing victim whom they are going to run roughshod over. These people are used to dealing with ignorant people. And by that I mean these people don't know their rights. They let them do whatever they want. And as a result, officialdom gets very used to just acting like kings and being very sloppy in terms of fulfilling the legal requirements that the law puts on them. So they get very sloppy and they make a lot of mistakes, and that can work to your benefit. So you're going to tell them right off the bat that you are not one of those ignorant people. Okay? Public servants, officers, sheriff's deputies, any type of official, as I mentioned, is used to this and they will test you. Okay, so you have to be up to the test. So we're going to talk for just a couple minutes on how you can pass the test. All right, now you're going to inform the officer in this instance very politely that you are not one of those ignorant people. Your posture will always be polite and respectful, yet very firm and clear. Now, your personality may not invite this kind of behavior just as a natural course. So you might have to practice this a few times in your head, or even better yet, do some role playing with a friend a couple of times. Okay? I would also suggest take some notes. Have some index cards handy in the car with you, because under pressure, your mind doesn't function very well, and you'll screw it up. You'll fumble and bumble and forget key things. So I would really recommend have some flashcards handy in the car so that you be sure to cover some of the key points that I'm going to go over with you right here and now. Okay? Just an idea. Now, most people who are unaccustomed to being firm with law enforcement or any authority of any kind will usually just melt into a puddle and let them do whatever they want. I was in court one time with a friend helping him on a fairly simple matter. It wasn't terribly threatening. I think it was a foreclosure or something, and he was on the witness stand, and the judge was asking some simple questions, and he just freaked out. He just melted. He couldn't respond. He was just a puddle. Didn't do anything to help himself whatsoever. So he was completely unprepared, and it showed. So just be aware of that. All right. Now, you always want to give the officer the benefit of the doubt. All right, chances are he's a great guy, professional, respectful, and just doing his job. All right, give him the chance to show his true colors. And above all, always let him do his job. All right, but nothing more. He's not going to get away, as I mentioned in the beginning, with any funny business. Okay, so take the attitude that police are not the enemy unless or until they prove that they are. Okay, and then you need to take a different approach. So the point is, don't make them your enemy with a bad attitude right up front. Okay, they're just out doing their job, trying to collect a paycheck, trying to protect themselves, trying to get home at night to see their family. Be friendly and helpful. All right, that's your posture. All right, so a polite, friendly posture is necessary for a successful result in most cases. Okay, so let's take a traffic stop situation. The police pull you over. You're on the side of the road. The policeman gets out of the car. He approaches you, and it might go something like this. Good evening. How you doing today? May I see your driver's license and proof of insurance, please? And you might respond, certainly, officer. I'd be happy to cooperate. Let me ask you, are you with the city police or the sheriff's department or the highway patrol? You know, criminals have been impersonating police and taking advantage of motorists, and I just want to protect myself. I'm sure you understand that. So may I ask your name and badge number, please? Ah, okay, Officer Bradley, badge number 212. All right, make a note of it. Take some notes or have a tape recorder going. So Officer Bradley, may I see some ID, please, just for verification? All right, now, I'm an old salesman. Been through innumerable sales seminars, and one thing that I've learned time and time again, and this is inevitable, is that the one who is asking the questions is the one who is in control. Okay? Now, what did you just do? He was basically, for lack of a better term, on the offensive with you, asking who are you? What's your information? Show me your license. Show me your insurance. You turned it around 180 degrees and turned it right back on him in a very reasonable, rational, and polite manner, saying, you know, officer, criminals have been impersonating police and taking advantage of motorists. I just want to protect myself, so if you don't mind, may I ask your name and badge number, please? And can I see some ID to verify? Great. All right. And guess what? He's responding to you. You just put him on the defensive, all right? So the key issue here is, what is your authority? Who are you to be asking me these things, making demands upon me, asking to see my private and confidential information, asking to take possession of my personal documents, all right? I'm entitled to due process. And I will be demanding correct procedure. Okay, this is something you don't necessarily say that to him, but this is a point in your mind that you have to establish. All right, you have to establish that. So, if he cooperates with your request, you know he's probably a good guy. All right, so go easy on him. All right, but don't cave. Don't cave to any demands just because. If he does not cooperate with you, then you have no reason to cooperate with him if he has not properly established his authority. Okay? You are not required to give your personal documents and private information to strangers on the street, anybody who asks for it. All right? He's making the demand. It's up to him to establish his proper lawful authority to make that demand. And you can respectfully require that of him. Okay? Again, don't get a belligerent attitude. Don't be offensive. It's not going to help your case. Okay? So, whether he does cooperate or whether he does not cooperate, in either case, okay, the next step is going to be exactly the same, all right? So if you're plotting this on a flow chart, this is the next step. So you respond, okay, officer, thank you. Now, just so I understand this situation, please tell me, am I being detained? Why do you ask that? Because if you are being detained, then he must suspect you of committing a crime, or have suspicion that you were about to commit a crime. Okay? If you are not being detained, then you are free to go. You don't have to do anything. All right? So this is a key step to determine, a key point in fact. Officer, just for my understanding, am I being detained? No? Okay. Well, then am I free to go? In fact, I wouldn't even ask that. So if I'm not being detained, then I'm free to go. Thank you very much. Is there anything else I can help you with? Okay? So this is the next item that requires determination. If you are being detained, all right, then he suspects that you've committed a crime, all right? Maybe he thinks you were speeding. Maybe you were speeding. any one of a number of things, okay? Then you can ask, very good officer, thank you for helping me understand the situation here. Let me ask you, officer, what is your RAS? You're asking yourself, what is RAS? RAS is reasonable, articulable suspicion that a crime was committed or was about to be committed. Okay? This will be asked in court if he ever gets that far and is a legal requirement upon him, which is called for in the statutes and the police training. Okay? So if you are being detained and you are not free to go, then you should ask the police officer, officer, what is your RAS? And as soon as you ask that, alarm bells will go off in his head and he'll go ding, 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 ding. This person knows my police training. I had that happen to me one time with an officer, and the first thing he responded with was, what, are you an attorney? And so obviously you don't answer that. You just keep yourself as mysterious as possible and let the fear of the unknown work to your benefit, okay? You might respond with something like, well, I do know the law, yes, sir. Anyway, so what's your RAS? Reasonable, articulable suspicion that a crime was committed or was about to be committed, all right? Now, further, to have RAS, he is required to also have SAF. The RAS must be based upon an SAF, which is a single articulable fact which supports his RAS. All right? So if it ever came, push came to shove in court, for his stop to be legal and or lawful, he must have a reasonable, articulable suspicion that you were committing a crime, and that suspicion must be based on a single articulable fact, which he can point to and articulate on the witness stand. Okay? So, again, when you ask this, he's going to immediately be on alert that you know the law, and that if he is at all belligerent, yet still slightly intelligent, he will change any ugly demeanor that he may have had previously, and he may possibly let you go right there. Okay? Because you put him on alert. You know the game. And he's not going to get away with anything if that was his intention. And if that was his intention, he may let you go right there to go pick on someone else who's more ignorant. Okay? If not, at least he'll be much more polite and respectful, okay? So you've given him warning. So that's very important and a very critical step. So again, if he has no RAS, he cannot detain you, and you are free to go. If he does have RAS and you are being detained, then you are required to give him your papers according to statute if you consider yourself a normal citizen. Okay, that's another story for another time. But keeping things simple, you're a citizen, a driver, have all the papers, and so let's just play the game. Now, once you give him your papers willingly, you are accepting all the assumptions and presumptions that go with being a federal slave citizen. Okay? That's not necessarily bad. But you give up some rights in the process. So what I have done in the past is to get them to politely threaten me or threaten me in any way, shape, or fashion they desire to. Not always polite. Once you've been threatened, then you are forced to comply against your wishes, and you tell him that you are not volunteering away any rights, but you feel compelled to comply under threat, duress, and coercion. In other words, it's the law of necessity. And this is not a voluntary waiver of rights. Okay? That's important. Now, typically in the past, whenever I would be pulled over, which was not too frequently, but it did happen, especially when I was very active in these kind of things, I got pulled over more than my fair share, I would always have my handy electronic witness sitting on the armrest right underneath the window on my door, recording every word that went on. Okay, those recordings can be extremely beneficial. Video, movies with sound, that's great if you can get that set up properly, but if nothing else, have an audio recording, and it can be reasonably well concealed just against the inside of the door below the window where you're talking through, okay, your driver's side door. So now, he comes back with a ticket, all right, and he asks you to sign. Okay, this is a ticket for speeding, da-da-da-da-da, there's a court date on this date. Please sign here, and I'll let you on your way. All right, now here's one scenario that went down with me one time. All right, the officer asked me to sign. I ask him. And so what happens if I don't sign? I'm not generally prone to entering into contracts with the state, which is basically what you're doing. You're agreeing to all the assumptions and presumptions that go with that ticket. And in doing so, you pretty much have lost your case before you even enter in the courtroom. But not always, not always. So what's the alternative? So, officer, what happens if I don't sign? Well, this guy, this is the same guy that asked me if I was an attorney previously. This guy says, well, he didn't know quite what to say. He goes, well, I guess I'll just sign for you. And I thought, great, that would be nice. Because I don't enter into contracts with the state. And by signing a ticket, you agree to all the terms and conditions that go with that, and you're entering into a contract. You're in commerce. And it's simply a matter that once the facts are determined in court, if you don't automatically submit and just pay the ticket ahead of time and go to court, you've agreed to pretty much everything to steer yourself into a fine. So you're engaged in a commercial contract. I don't like to sign those. So this officer says, oh, I'll sign for you. I go, great, that would be wonderful. If you would, please, I'd appreciate that. And I kind of jokingly said to him, I said, so when's the party? You inviting me to a party? What is this, an invitation? You know, when's the party? He kind of laughed. Well, it's going to be in a couple weeks here, Thursday morning at 9 o'clock. You're invited to come. And this particular confrontation, in fact, I wrote about it in my book. It took him 45 minutes of going back and forth with me before he ever got my papers. And by that time, he didn't know what to do with me. And he called backup. And he called the sergeant. The sergeant came in pretty gruff and stern. And I gave him the same treatment I gave the first guy. And before I knew it, there was like three or four police cars all with their lights on behind me. You'd think it was a major bust. And I had the whole thing tape recorded and played the whole recording on my radio show the following Saturday. And that's what started a whole avalanche of other activity. You'd have to catch that in my book. But anyway, you can have some fun with this stuff. And this officer was extremely professional, polite. In fact, he was just a minion in a larger plan to persecute me. And I had a high level of respect for him. I let him know that. Afterwards, during the time and afterwards, in fact, I sent him Christmas cards for two or three years after the event because I was so pleased that he handled himself so professionally and respectfully that, you know, I wanted him to know that he was really doing a good job, and I appreciated it, even though he wrote me a ticket, the darn guy. But, you know, that's their job. He was doing a good job of it. So, anyway, those are some of the key points. Here's another approach a friend of mine did. It's a little bit more confrontational and risky. When he gets pulled over, he would just keep his windows rolled up, keep his both hands on the steering wheel, If it was nighttime, he would turn on the lights inside the car so the cops could see him, that they, you know, weren't fearful for, you know, their lives, which is deathly these days. And his eyes were forward. He wouldn't blink. He wouldn't flinch. He wouldn't look at the cops. He wouldn't respond to them. He wouldn't talk to them. He wouldn't move. He didn't respond. There were times when the cops would just get frustrated and just leave after a period of time. There were other times that they got quite threatening, threatened to break his window, haul him out. And these days, I think police are a little bit more inclined to get more violent. So that might be a little bit more of a risk these days than it was back then, which was back in the 90s. Another approach, and this is a really good one I like. Another friend of mine had his car registered in the name of a private trust, okay? A trust is a legal person just like an individual is a legal person, okay? So you can register your car to a private trust. And the name of this trust was FBI Trust. He wasn't impersonating anybody. He didn't call himself Federal Bureau of Investigation. He just named it FBI Trust. Could stand for any one of a number of things, okay? So police would ask for his papers. He'd give them the registration document, and they'd see FBI. And oh my God, ding, 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 ding. You couldn't imagine what's going on in the mind of the police officer pulling him over. And, you know, more times than not, the police would just hand him back his papers and say, "All right, have a great day. Just be sure you drive safe." So there's a variety of things you can do. Those are just a couple of ideas. I'll explore some more registration, fun and games in another presentation, but that'll do it for now for the initial contact. Just in review, your objectives are hands off and no funny business, all right? You're going to inform the police through your verbal interaction with them that you are not one of the ignorant masses. You will always be polite, respectful, yet firm and very clear. You're going to ask him the questions, turn it around. You start asking the questions, ask him for what is his authority. Don't say it in those words, but you heard what I said earlier about asking for his name, badge number, and then verify it with ID. What is your RAS, reasonable articulable suspicion? If you have RAS, then what is your SAF, single articulable fact? Okay, that'll put them on notice, and you can take it from there. So I hope that's been a little bit helpful. We'll get into more advanced issues on this in some other presentations. So anyway, thanks for your time and attention, and we'll look forward to sharing some more stories with you in the next presentation. Take care.